Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-877-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Well, welcome to Call to Freedom and Happy New Year. Happy New You. If you survived last year, oh, praise God, you've got some wonderful, exciting things to look forward to. So I say to you again, Happy New Year. May He give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. All your plans that you have. I hope your plans are His plans, because He is at work in you. He is. When you give your heart to Jesus, He is at work in you, beginning to mold you and make you into that wonderful, perfect person that you're going to be at the end of this journey that we're in. So I'm looking forward to seeing the good you, the happy new you. I feel like I should do the Monday Bible slogan. I don't care for holidays when they're in the middle of the week. Rachel and I were talking about that. It's very strange to have a day that's a holiday and then you go right into zipping into the latter part of a week. So, but I'm not going to do the Monday Bible slogan. I'll save that till next Monday. And tomorrow, Darren and I have a really great program. I am so grateful that we can go into those archives and get the encore shows that were done years ago. But, oh, they're so anointed, friend. I hope you can tune in on Fridays at 1 o'clock, at 10:15, at 2:30, at 5:30 on KLTT, and on 12:20 KLDC at 11 o'clock. And it is just a blessing for me to listen to that over and over again. You are blessed to dispense, for in Him you live and move and have your being. And you can give online donations at freedomstreet.org. And I just got an email from my daughter, Dana. She emails me the monthly accumulation of the giving for the month before. And she's so good. She's kind of like a CPA, keeps her eyes on things like that. And she said, Mom, in the email, she said, Mom, you have such faithful people month after month after month. And I said, yes. I emailed her back and I said, God has been so good and He's given me such faithful power partners. And I just don't know how to express my thank you. Sometimes words just, they aren't as meaningful as you want them to mean. Oh, but I love you. I love you. You've been such a wonderful power partner. And power partners are people that make a vow, yeah, that every month they will pray for Call to Freedom, because it's good ground ministry and I need the prayer. And also they are givers. Every month they give to Call to Freedom, and oh, what a blessing it has been. So you can go to freedomstreet.org, click on that little donate button and give, and God will see your giving as such a wonderful harvest. And it happens that the verse that I just quoted here, Psalm 20, verse 4, may He give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. It comes after He says, may He grant you your heart's desire as you fulfill your offerings. Yeah. You think you can bless the Lord and just be a miser and keep all your money to yourself? All He's asking for is 10%, my friend. 10%, and He's going to take care of your life. He has mine. when I got the idea of tithing, and it was into my 30s. So I'm encouraging you, I'm for you, I'm challenging you to begin to see a tithe as an absolute opportunity for God to pour back into your life. Give and it shall be given unto you. Shaken together, all your offerings poured upon other people that have needs, but also ministries that are doing God's work here. So thank you so much. I just want to remind you of the meeting a week from tomorrow, or Saturday. That's January the 11th, and that's Saturday, and it's at 10 o'clock, and I'm looking forward to seeing you. Memory verse for this week, it seems like a long time ago, doesn't it, is Revelation 11:15. We finished Revelation. We're going to start at the beginning of the Bible again. I can never learn enough. I've gone through the Bible now 47 times, and I can never learn enough. That's right. Revelation 11, verse 15, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. And from the Passion, 11:15 says, a loud voice broke forth in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our God and his anointed one, that's Messiah, and he will reign supreme for all eternity. And then the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell face down before him and worshiped him, saying, we give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, who is and was, because you have established your great and limitless power and begun to reign. Oh, that is so good. I've been doing my confession for today for 6 years now from Rick Renner. And the other day, I was in Hobby Lobby. I love to go in Hobby Lobby. It was packed. It was really busy. And I noticed a new devotional by Tim Tebow. And I thought, whoa, I'd like to get a man's, you know, viewpoint. I had listened to Rick Renner for years. I love what men have to say. I don't know about you, but I like what God created in a man. I do. And so I took his devotional. I bought it. I didn't steal it. I bought his devotional. And this is the first thing I'm going to read out of his Mission Possible devotional. This is from Tim Tebow. If anyone is in Christ, this person is a new creation. The old things passed away, the person who he was. Behold, new things have come. And he says here, in 1975, in what is arguably one of the worst trades in sports history, the Milwaukee Bucks traded Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And that's the first date that John and I had watching Lou Alcindor at UCLA. That was March 17th, 1967. I'll never forget that date. And they traded him to the Los Angeles Lakers. The Bucks got four players in return. See, they thought that they had it good. Mm-mm. None matching the caliber of talent of Abdul-Jabbar possessed. He would go on to make history with the Lakers, winning 5 championship titles and a record 6 MVPs. That's the most important person in that game. This story makes me grateful. And Tim goes on to say, this story makes me grateful for being on the receiving end of the greatest trade in the history of the world. I love that from a man's perspective. God exchanging the sin of humanity for the righteousness of Christ. Because of God's trade, we go from old to new, from dead to alive, darkness to light, bondage to freedom, separation to united with Christ, lost to found, in debt to paid for. Hallelujah. We don't have to earn or work for salvation. We definitely don't deserve it. Jesus paid the price for us. It cost him everything. It was also his mission. When we accept Jesus, we are viewed in God's eyes as righteous. We are made right with God, and we experience the joy of a new purpose-filled life. So live out that joy. Celebrate this new life you have, because you've been traded to the greatest team of all, the family of God. How does this being reminded that you are part of the greatest trade of all encourage you to live out your purpose? How does this saying this help you to live out your purpose, my friend? And he says, someone may open up and share the dream of your heart to you, so listen. And someone close to you may ache to hear an approving, encouraging word from you, so say it. Someone may make a simple request that could unlock an important door for them. Do it. You may be the only bridge to victory others ever experience. God dared to become a baby. What an example for us. Oh, that's so good. And I'm going to be reading from pages of Tim Tebow's devotional here in the next year. I'm going to be doing that. this baby Jesus was born full of grace and truth. And you can read that in John 1. His ultimate obedience was to his heavenly Father. He says it over and over in the book of John. But he showed humble obedience to his earth parents also. I'm continuing with the childhood of Jesus from what I talked about on Monday. When he was born in a stable, then he went to a home where the wise men gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Here in Luke 2, 39 through 52, in the Message, it said, "And when they finished everything required by God in the law," this is when they dedicated the baby Jesus, "they returned to Galilee and to their own town, Nazareth. There the child grew strong in body and wise in spirit, and the grace of God was on him." That unrestrained operation of God's love. See, that's what grace really is. It's God. He doesn't have any restraints anymore. And it's an operation of love on the part of Jesus Christ. We know that Jesus grew spiritually to fulfill God's plan, and I'm sure that he did practical things for his parents that children do today. You know, take out the trash, clean up your room, throw things under the bed, help his mother prepare food for the meals. I know my dad did that. He was the youngest of eight children, and the boys would go out in the fields with Grandpa Henkel, and Dad would stay in the house, mainly kind of like Jacob, and do the meals with my grandma. And so learn the carpentry trade from his father, learn what he learned from his father. And he lived in a physical world and showed us how to bridge both worlds. I love the line, "And he was just an ordinary baby." And Gloria Gaither was so anointed to say this, "With no air of condescension, he became God's pure extension, giving you and me a chance to be remade." Oh, I love that line. He was just an ordinary baby. That's the way he planned it, maybe, so that we would come to him and not be afraid. Not be afraid, my friend. See, you can go before the Father with no sense, no feelings, no anxiety of unworthiness, inferiority, fear, or guilt. You're in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. The next passage is the first time we hear about a specific age of Jesus in Luke 2, verse 41. In verse 41, he says, "Every year Jesus' parents traveled to Jerusalem for the feast of Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up as they always did for the feast." Maybe Jesus' age was mentioned because around that time, right before the teen years, Jewish boys go through a ceremony called Bar Mitzvah. A bar mitzvah, and that's masculine, or bat mitzvah is feminine, is a coming-of-age ritual in Judaism. According to the Jewish law, before children reach a certain age, the parents are responsible for their child's actions. Once Jewish children reach that age, they are said to become b'nai mitzvah, at which point they begin to be held accountable for their own actions. In Orthodox communities, boys became bar mitzvah at 13 and girls become bat mitzvah at 12. At the very beginning, it was only for boys. It was bar mitzvah. And in the Reform conservative communities of today, the milestone is 13 regardless of gender. And so here the children are held responsible for knowing Jewish law, tradition, and ethics, and they partake of the Jewish community and in their synagogues. Well, Luke 2, verse 41 goes on to say, "When it was over and they left for home," this was at Passover in Jerusalem, "the child Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents didn't know it. Thinking he was somewhere in the company of pilgrims, they journeyed for a whole day and then began looking for him among relatives and neighbors." I can't imagine. As a parent, don't we allow our children to go and be with their friends at the mall or other places of entertainment? I think that's normal for parents to give their maturing children just a little leeway. Okay, now you call me at 10 o'clock if you're going to be out till 10:30, or be back by 11. That kind of thing goes on all the time. It went on with my children. So in verse 45, when they didn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem looking for him. Oh, I can't imagine. The next day they found him. They found him in the temple, seated among the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. The teachers were all quite taken with him, impressed with the sharpness of his answers. Remember that Jesus was born full of grace and truth, but his parents were not impressed. They were upset and hurt. They had taken more days, trying to find him and not getting back home to their work. His mother said, "Young man, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been half out of our minds looking for you." He said, "Why were you looking for me? Didn't you know that I have to be about my father's business, dealing with the things of my father?" 12 years old, friends. And he was already spiritually maturing into the fact that he was Messiah. And this song, by Donnie and Reba, Donnie McGuire and Reba Rambo, it comes from a musical that we did in 1982, so there are going to be some skips in this song, but oh, it is so descriptive of Jesus saying, "Didn't you know that I had to be about my Father's business?" Here he is.
"Didn't you know I'd be in my Father's house? In my Father's house, doing his work. Didn't you know I'd be in my Father's house? In my Father's house, doing his work. Didn't you know
What a voice. This young man, he was so emphatic. "Mom and Dad, didn't you know? Didn't you know, Mom, that I'm Messiah? Didn't you know that I have got a spiritual work here on this earth, and I'm starting it soon?" Oh, it's just amazing. He says, "I don't care about the time of day. I don't care about morning or noon or night." And what is the first thing we look at when we wake up? What is the first thing? Either our phones or our clocks. Yeah, what time is it? Did I miss something? And he doesn't care. This is Jesus, the Messiah. Oh, thank you, Donnie McGuire and Reba Rambo. Wow, what a song. I remember the other day I was explaining to Kimberly I was going to be playing Just an Ordinary Baby. And Kimberly says, "You know the song I really like on that musical?" And I said, "What?" And she said, "That young man singing, 'Didn't You Know?'" And I thought, oh, I hadn't thought about that. So you've got to thank Kimberly for that. Oh, this young man was just amazing. Praise God for his talent. Oh, and the gifts that God has given to each one of us, my friend. As we look at the recorded history of Jesus' life, we see a miracle in progress. This exceptional man not only fulfilled the Old Testament prophecy about the Messiah, but he completed every dot and tittle or God's plan in reconciling himself to God's fallen creation. That's us. That's us. Human beings. He hoped that they would love him, and he extended himself even further by providing the opportunity for everyone to receive him because of his operational and powerful loving grace afforded to each and every one of us through Jesus Christ. His grace surrounds you right now. I don't care where you are. His grace is surrounding you. You have accepted him as Savior and Lord in your life. One moment or another, maybe a long time ago, maybe just recently, you said, Jesus, I want to be yours. I want to accept you as Savior and Lord. I'm a sinner. I've done so many bad things, but I want to accept you. Do you know what? Those bad things mean nothing to the Lord Jesus. The fact that you accepted him as Savior and Lord, that's what's important. So he's just full of unfailing love for you. And he walked this earth full of grace and truth, and he gives that to you right now. I know you may say this life of discipline and learning is too hard. I'm not made to be like Jesus. No, you aren't made to be like Jesus in your own effort. And that's why we must surrender ourselves as Jesus did. Let's look at Philippians 2, verse 8, and see the fullness of Jesus' obedience. Because he was obedient to his mom and dad. He went back with them to Nazareth after he told them, didn't you know I was to be about my father's business? Didn't you know? Well, you could have told us where you're going to be. You know how parents are. Philippians 2, 8 through 11 in the Message. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death. Can you imagine yourself being naked on a cross? Having humbled himself by becoming obedient to God, experiencing the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. Verse 9 of, verse 9 of Philippians 2. Because of that obedience, God lifted him high and honored him far beyond anyone or anything ever, so that all created beings in heaven and on earth, even those long ago dead and buried, that's why he had to go down to earth, because the Old Testament saints and those who died, they didn't have a heaven to go to. Huh? It was so totally different. So he went down into the deepest part of where the earth is, where they were in, I don't know where they cells, I don't know what it is at all, but he went down there for 3 days and preached the wonderful plan of redemption to them and captured their hearts, praise the Lord, and so that all created beings in heaven and on earth, even those long ago dead and buried, will bow in worship before this Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and call out in praise that he is the master of all to the glorious honor of God the Father. Yeah, Hades was so different in the Old Testament than what we see in the New. And so we've got to realize there is a division between Old Testament. You go to your Bible and you see Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. And you say, I wonder why they did that. Well, because there is a new covenant now. The old covenant didn't work, and Jesus fulfilled it. So now we've got a new covenant. Praise the Lord, the grace of God the Father through Jesus Christ, his Son. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 45, verse 22 through 23 says, turn to me, that's a capital M, turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, there is no other. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone forth from my mouth in righteousness, and will not turn back. That to me every knee will bow and every tongue will swear allegiance to my name. Now you know where Paul got Philippians 2:10. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue will proclaim that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He got it from Isaiah 45, verse 22 and 23. These mighty men of God knew a lot of the Old Testament, and so they just added their wonderful anointing of Holy Spirit to it. If we learn to walk in love, And I'm with you here, because that's a hard thing to do when somebody, you know, flips you off in traffic, or somebody tries to say something that isn't very complimentary for. Wow, your hair really is a mess today. That kind of thing. Well, you walk in love. Whoa. And you walk in love and make it the business of your life. It's the highest point of the fruit of Holy Spirit, love, that we can solve many problems of human relationships, which we may have thought were impossible. I'm glad Tim Tebow titled his devotional, Mission Possible, because in God all things are possible. If we could have our spirits developed in love like that, then we could live like the Master. We could maintain a real beautiful fellowship with the Father, with the Word, and with one another. In John 14, 16 through 17, Jesus promised that he would send a Comforter, Holy Spirit, to give you that love. And he says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, because Jesus was going away, that he may be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. Remember, in John 1, he's full of truth and grace. So he's bringing you the Spirit of truth, because he wants you to know the truth, not a lie, whom the world cannot receive, for it beholds him not. The world doesn't recognize him, nor do they want to. But you know him, for he abides with you and shall be in you. Oh, when Jesus and the love that he displayed on this earth, when he went away, he gave another member of the Trinity, full of love and truth, Holy Spirit. And he's with you right now as I'm speaking to you. Wherever you are, he is there with you. So you can talk to him. Feel free to talk to him. This is a new year. You're a new you. And he's going to make you even better than you ever thought you could be. You're going to be a masterpiece for him. Yes, you are. A workmanship that is past anything you could ask or think. Praise the Lord. I'm so excited for you. Remember, Darren and I are on the air tomorrow. Oh, it's going to be a good show. And I want you to know that you are a person that God loves and delights in every minute of every day. So you know what? Take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom Ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at BarbaraCarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.